Hey, man, what's up?
I just want to give you a hug, man.
All right.
I love you.
Thanks for being a pastor.
God bless you, man.
I appreciate it.
I'm sorry.
It's all right. It's all right. No problem.
I'm sorry. I love you.
I love you too, man.
Heck of a way to start service, isn't it? I'm glad you were nervous and kind of dry. I know that was pretty disgusting. If you thought it was from there, it was even more here. I asked Steve to do that, and I'll be honest with you. It was one of the hardest. I've asked Steve to do a lot of crazy things, haven't I? In 11 years, he says someone else's turn now. There's a reason for it. You know, I'm going to start off this way. About 2 weeks ago, I got home late. Did I not get turned on? My light's on. Are you guys on? There we go. About 2 weeks ago, I got home late from work. I don't know what I was doing that night, but I was exhausted when I got home, and I don't even think I'd had any supper yet. And I sat down, and Kathy had a plate ready for me. She is awesome. I have a most wonderful wife, because she knows when I'm out doing stuff, I lose track of time. And got home, and she had supper in the oven for me, and I remember her coming home, and I plopped down in my chair, my big old brown reclining lazy boy, and I had my supper on my lap, and I was eating, and I turned on the TV, because it wasn't on when I came home, which was kind of unusual. I turned on the TV, and flipping through the channels, trying to find something decent to watch, which is pretty difficult to do these days, and I hit a channel, and I'm not even sure what channel it is, not even sure what program it was. Well, that's not true. It was TMZ is what it was, and I don't watch TMZ, but there was a quick blurb that went through on TMZ that made me stop, because it was a guy, it was one of like the guys, I hope you don't watch TMZ, I really do. I hope you have no idea what I'm talking about at this moment, but evidently it's a bunch of people who sit around and make fun of other people and do, you know, that do terrible things and stuff like this, and there was this guy who was part of the program, and what he said was, I just go do my thing, and then I go, sorry, Jesus, and right when I turned it, that was what he said, and it kind of caught my attention, and he said it again. He says, yeah, I just go out and do my thing, and then say, sorry, Jesus. He says, that's my religion. That's how I roll. He says, that's how Jesus is. He says, you just go do your thing, and then you come back and you say, sorry, Jesus. Sorry. Just go do your thing, and sorry, Jesus. It's no big deal. And there was something that struck me at that moment. I can't quite put it into words. It was anger. It was anger. It was disgust. It was a deep sense of, is that what we've come to? And then I really got to thinking about it. And I do the same thing. Do the same thing. And I didn't realize it. And if you're honest with yourself, you sit down and you really become honest with yourself, you're doing the same thing too. We go and we do what we want and think, well, it's not as bad as what the other person is doing, and I get to go do what I want, and then I go say, sorry, Jesus, and I got this amazing thing called grace, and it is the most amazing gift the world has ever received in all the world. It's this amazing thing that God has given to us through Jesus Christ, through his death and his resurrection. He's given us this amazing gift called grace, and God gave us that grace for our sin, to cover our sin. And it's fantastic. But he didn't give us that grace so that we can use it, as Jude calls it in Jude chapter verse 4, a license to sin. That grace is not a license to go do whatever we want and then get to go back and say, sorry, Jesus. Because literally what we're doing, and believe me, I did not want to ask. I asked two other people to do this before Steve finally said he would be willing to do it. I was in tears asking Steve to do that. Literally in tears asking him to do it. Because it's really an example of what we do to God in so many different ways. We say, I love you. We put our arms around. We go sing a few songs. And then we go back and we literally spit in his face. And then we come back and say, I'm sorry about that. I love you. I love you. And then we go back and we spit in his face. And you know what? God will continue to stand there. He loves you so much. He loves you so much, he will continue to stand there. And he will never turn away. He will never go, oh no. He will continue to stand there and let you spit in his face all the way up until the point that Christ returns. And then it's done. It's over with. He will separate those who spit and those who love. Hold on, what are you talking? Talking about sin. Sin in our lives. In the redeemed's life, in those who have confessed their faith in Jesus Christ, who have accepted the grace and the love that only can come through Jesus, and yet we continue to sin. And I'm not saying that we are ever going to shove sin completely out of our life, but we have to understand that it is still a battle in our life. We have to understand that we're still fighting it. The victory's won, but it doesn't mean that we give up and just say, okay, man, I can just do whatever I want, however I want, whenever I want, as often as I want, to whomever I want. It's not a license to sin. Grace is not. Hear me. Understand it. Because if we fall into the trap of saying, grace is a license to sin for me to continue doing whatever I want, however I want, we're going to come to the eventuality that we're at right now in today's society, where we have got this idea that we have the right and the ability to say what is sin and what is not sin. You see, it happens like this. There's a real neat little, a real ugly little progression that happens in our life. In James, turn with me to James chapter 1. And guys, I got to throw this out here to you. I really do. Because I don't want to come off as angry at you. Okay? You got to hear me here, okay? Because we got a lot of people who are visiting today and people who know me. I'm not angry at you. I'm angry at myself. I'm angry because I'm in this. Amen. I'm in this. I'm a part of it. I'm not going like this, pointing at you and got four people. It's me too. I am struggling with sin. And you know what? The reason I'm starting to struggle with sin, the sin in my life, is because I saw this me spitting in his face. When I heard that man saying, go out and do whatever you want, and then come back and say, sorry, Jesus, I was so upset with him. I was so upset with him until I started recognizing I'm doing the same thing. I'm struggling with sin, and I've got to admit it. I've got sin in my life that I don't like having it there. I've got anger issues. Whew! I've got them. I've got lust issues. I do. I have a serious problem in that area of my life. But if I keep hiding it and covering it up, you know what happens? It happens just what it says here in James. In James chapter 1, verse 14, verse 13, let's start there. When tempted, and that's what's going on, when being tempted, it says no one should say, God is tempting me. God didn't bring that into my life. For God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he tempt anyone. But each one, listen to what it says, but each one is tempted when by his own evil desires he is dragged away and enticed. You see the pattern that starts? It starts by our own evil desires. It starts with a thought in our minds. It starts with a thought in our minds that, oh, this is okay. I can just think about this. As long as I don't act upon it, I can think about this. But as long as I don't act, But what happens is, as soon as we start thinking about something that is evil, as soon as we're enticed by Satan to get into that pattern of thought, and you know how it works. As soon as we get into that pattern of thought, no matter what it is, pretty soon after that pattern of thought has been there so long, we start thinking, well, I've been thinking about it, it's not so bad. And then we act on it. And it might start very innocently, very small. But as soon as we act on it, we're getting dragged away. Look at what it says. He says, by your own evil desires, he is dragged away and enticed. After that desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin. And sin, when it is full grown, gives birth to death. You see, there's something that's going on in our lives and in our world today that we've got to recognize, and we got to put it out there. We got to hold it up, Christians. We're not saying that we're perfect. We're not saying that we're sin-free, because we still have sin in our life. We're forgiven of sin, but it doesn't give us a license to sin. Okay? We still have to treat sin as sin, because sin is a abominable to God. He cannot be in the presence of God. That's why Christ came. You know what? And if we start glorifying sin, if we start lifting it up and saying it's not sin, guess what? We're no longer being under the lordship and under the grace of Jesus, because now we put ourselves above Christ. We're trying to say that we know what sin is, and we can control that. We can say what's right and wrong. We don't have the right to do that. God sets what's right and wrong. And we follow under that pattern. We're falling into a dangerous trap right now, people. And when I say we, I'm not just talking about Wallach Community Bible Church. I'm talking about our society as a whole. We are slipping so fast. And you know what? I am so grateful. I am so eternally grateful that God allows things to happen. And it seems like bad things. But God does it so that we might have a wake-up call. You know what? The new law that was passed, I'm just going to get this out there. The new law that was passed for gay marriage was a blessing. What? It was a blessing because it is an example. It is an example of how sin works. It's an example of how society takes something that God has said is wrong and we make it right, and then we have to justify it by making a law about it. Okay? Now, I'm not saying that's it. Listen to me very closely, okay? My sin of anger and lust is as bad as what the law has been made. Understand that. That sin is not any greater than the sin that I have in my life. What I'm saying is the dangers, and there is forgiveness, and there is grace, and there is mercy that covers my sin, that sin, every sin that ever has ever been conceived in our in evil minds. There is grace and mercy that covers that for each and every one of us. But guess what? We have to say sin is sin, because as soon as we start saying sin is not sin, I put myself in the place of God deciding what is right and what is wrong. Understand that. I'm not saying one sin is any higher than the other. I'm saying sin is sin, and God abhors all of it. And he's given us the opportunity, and he's given us the power. This is a cool thing. He's given us the power to overcome that sin in our life. He's given us the Holy Spirit, not just to give us grace, but also to overcome sin. If we do something really important, really amazing, really powerful. And it's called repent. And it's a word nobody wants to talk about today. Because repentance means that I have to turn away from what I want to what God wants in my life. It has to turn away from the evil and the things that I love, that I'm holding as precious, is dear to me. Well, this relationship is so wonderful. This is the best relationship ever. I love this. This thing here, this can't be bad. This is good. It's my precious. More precious than God? More valuable than the Creator? Is it worth more than your life? You see, what needs to happen is we need to accept that grace, that love that we've been singing about, that mercy that is so amazing, so incredible, so powerful, so over-encompassing, so large. We need to accept that grace. We need to accept that love. And then, along with that grace, we need to recognize that we have allowed Christ to be not just our Savior, but our Lord. And when our Lord speaks, we need to listen. And when our Lord directs, we need to follow. We need to follow. And let Him be in control of our lives. And when He brings something into our life that He says, you know what, this isn't good. He's not trying to harm us. He's not trying to stifle our life. He's trying to give us real life. True life. It even talks about this. Talks about this. Where is it? Yeah, 2 Timothy. I've been here before. Second Timothy chapter 3. Verse 5. And we can read. Let's just read it. Chapter 3. I feel like I've read this a dozen times here. Maybe I've just read it in my mind. Maybe I haven't read it out loud to you guys, but I'm going to read it out loud. If I did it several times here lately, I'm sorry, but guess what? I'm going to do it again. I'm not sorry. It's God's word. Listen to it. Listen to it, okay? Just like the spit in the face. Go be shocked by it. Don't turn away from it. Listen to it. But mark this. There will be terrible times in the last days. People will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boastful, proud, abusive, disobedient to their parent. Oh my goodness. You know what? This is just that disobedient to your parents. I've got to tell you, in the last 2 weeks, if you don't think this is true, in the last 2 weeks, I've had three different people come up to me out of the blue for no reason at all say, you would not believe what I just saw in Walmart. You would not believe. I've had three different people, and the story is a little bit different, but almost the same. One, I had a little kid coming up to his mom, asking for something she wouldn't get. The little kid screamed. Who told me this story? Raise your hand. I don't want to get it wrong, but the little kid started screaming, Jim, started screaming obscenities, correct? We won't repeat the obscenities that you said because it shocked me that you even said that word. But he started screaming obscenities at his mom, not just saying, Mom, you're really mean. You really should buy this for me because you're a bad mom. If you don't. Not that. I mean, big ones. In Walmart because his mom didn't buy it. That wasn't the only story. I had two or three of people come up to me and approach me out of the blue saying, this is, we're living right now, disobedient to our parents. Oh, kids, listen to me. My kids, listen to me. Listen. Parents are not saying no because they're trying to make you have a horrible life. They're trying to pen you in and hold you in. They're saying no. I'm looking at all the kids. They're saying no to some of the stuff that's going on in the world because they love you. They have already gone through some of the things that Satan is trying to tempt you with right now. And they're trying to keep you from falling into that temptation. Listen to me, Zoe. She loves you a lot. That woman sitting next to you would do almost anything to protect you from the evil that is going on in this world. Anything. She would almost probably lay down her life. You hear me? For you, God is the best parent ever. He never makes mistakes, and He's trying to do the same thing. He's trying to protect you. He's trying to keep you from that harm, from that temptation. He's trying to keep you from playing out the things that the rest of the world is playing in. Ungrateful, unholy, without love, unforgiving, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, not lovers of the good, but treacherous, rash, conceited, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. Here it is, having a form of godliness, but
but denying its power, have nothing to do with them. Having a form of godliness, but denying its power. I started looking into that this week, and this is pretty cool. I want to share this with you. You see, God, through His Holy Spirit, that He has given to you as a gift through Jesus Christ, has given you the power through that Spirit to resist sin. What? Yes. Through that Spirit, not by your own power, not by your own might, not by your own understanding, but through the power of the Holy Spirit, He has given us the ability to resist sin. To say no. How does that work? I tested it out this week. I'm not going to give you my example because it's pretty embarrassing. But I tested it out. I said, Lord, I want you to make it painfully aware to me when I am about to sin in this certain area of my life. And He did. And I recognized at that very moment I had the ability, through the Spirit, the power of the Holy Spirit, to say no. I could do it. Now, when I wasn't living in the power of the Spirit, and I was just living my own life and doing it my own way and on my own time and on my own terms and on my own desires, I didn't even recognize it was sin. But when God says, this is sin and I want it out, He's giving you the ability to say no. He gives you the ability to flee from the devil, to turn away from him and go. Does that mean I'm not going to slip up? Especially now that I preached about it? Because you know what? I'm going to tell you right now, pray for me. Pray for me. Eldon Cook, your pastor, please pray for me. Because now that I put it out there, Satan's going, oh no, I don't like this. We're going to make you slip. You think you got control of that? Now we're going to bring in the big guns. I'm scared. Praying for you. As a matter of fact, that's why he says, confess your sins to one another so that we might pray. Walk away. Because the danger is, if we don't, we're going to continue to justify. And once we justify our sin, then we're going to accept it. And once we've accepted it, we're going to make it acceptable for other people. And that's what's going on right now. Our children, our kids. Am I beating you up? But our kids now think what was once wrong, what God called wrong, our kids now think it's acceptable. And they are receiving in themselves the punishment of that sin. The punishment in their lives, in their relationships, in their denying of there is a God. It's happening right now. And we're a part of it. I'm a part of it. The amazing thing is when Jesus came, there was this guy named John the Baptist. And he came before Jesus. And he preached a baptism of what? Repentance. Repentance simply means I'm going to turn away from sin and turn my eyes to God. It's that simple. It's saying, I see this is wrong. I know it's wrong. And I'm going to turn my eyes to God. I'm going to turn my back on this. I'm going to stop. I'm going to struggle. It's going to be hard. I'm not going to like it, but I'm going to turn to God and say, what you say is wrong, I say is wrong. I'm going to follow your example, God. I'm going to turn away from it. Now, guys, listen to me, okay? Because I'm not staying up here trying to say, all right, now you got to start being perfect. I'm not saying that. And I'm not saying that once I turn away from that sin and turn to God, then I'm not going to go, because I am. I know that I am. I know I'm going to continue to be tempted. Maybe not in that area, but somewhere else. My eyes are constantly going in different directions at the same time. And I'm not asking you to be perfect. I'm not even asking you to try to be perfect. I'm just asking you to keep your eyes on Christ. Just try to focus there. Try to bring your life into His realm, because that's what He died for. He didn't die so that we could keep on sinning. He died so that we might be set free from sin. And we will one day be set free completely, totally from sin. It'll be wiped out of here. There will no longer be any sin when Christ returns and we are taken to heaven. It will be a sin-free world. We won't have to worry about our eyes wanting to look anywhere else, because there will be nothing better to look at than Jesus Christ and God. It will be the most amazing time in your entire life, and it will be for eternity. But while we're here, we're going to struggle. But we're supposed to struggle. As a matter of fact, it tells us we're going to struggle. We're going to struggle with sin, but it is a struggle. We can't give up. Do you hear me? And that's where I feel like so much of the world is at right now. We just give it up. It's not a struggle. We're just going to give in and just do whatever we want and say, sorry, Jesus. Sorry. But I'm really not, because I'm just going to turn around and spit right back in your face again. Do you realize that Jesus preached repent? Do you realize He did? In Matthew chapter 4. Matthew chapter 4, after John the Baptist. Was killed. It tells us in verse 17, from that time on. It says, from that time on, Jesus began to preach, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is near. You see, repentance comes. Repentance has to be preached before He returns. And the neat thing is, Jesus wants it preached. He needs it preached. He needs us to recognize that the battle that we're in is not with a certain group of people or a certain lifestyle or a certain ethnic group or anything like that or a certain other religion. Our battle is not with that. Our battle is with sin. The principalities, the battle that's waging within us. That's where our fight is at. And He wants us to help overcome that battle. He wants to heal the land. It's a neat thing, because if we could get a hold of this, church, if we could get a hold of this, if we could get a hold of this idea that we're in a battle, we need to put on our holy underwear. You guys remember that from a couple weeks ago? We need to put on our holy underwear. We need to put on the full armor of God. And not so that we can battle with one another and say, here's your sin, and you've got bad sin, and this is your sin, and like, and you got your sin, and it's not a battle with anyone else and anyone else's sin. The battle is within, and the sin that I'm fighting, and the sin that you're fighting, okay? But if we start having victory in that, if we start allowing God's power through His Holy Spirit to actually bring healing into our lives, we will be the light that God intended us to be. I don't know if I can explain this correctly, but I got time. I'm going to try. If we as Christians will repent from sin, call on the power of God's Holy Spirit, help us in that battle, and people see healing starting to take place in my life, in my relationship, they'll see that God's power is real. That there is a God. You see, if someone sees you and your life, and don't think you're hiding it, if someone sees your life and the sin that you are so steeped in, the sin that has entangled you, and then they see you coming out of that sin and finding freedom from that entanglement in your life, they're going to say, how'd you do that? How did you get healed? And then you've got an opportunity to tell them, it's not me. It's the power of God. It's His power working in me and through me. And it could be anything. It could be our eating habits. It could be our spending habits. It could be so many different things.
I ate so many Cheez-Its this week at BBS, and I felt, blah, they're so good. You tempted me. They're so good, but you know what? Cheez-Its aren't good for me. Does that mean I got to cut out all Cheez-Its? No, that's stupid. You got to have a few Cheez-Its once in a while, but you can't have it in the gluttonous form in which you're taking them handful by handful and then going back and getting Chuckles and eating Chuckles one after the other and then getting the Twizzlers and eating the Twizzlers one after the other and then go getting the snack with the little marshmallows and graham crackers and all the little stuff and eating that one after the other. It's not right. It's not good for you. You see what I'm saying? It starts that easily and that quickly. It's the same with our spending habits. It's the same with our relationships. It's the same with all kinds of things that start off as seeming good, but if we continue to carry it on to a further level, it becomes wrong. It becomes sin in our life. And God says, I don't want you to have that. That's not the life I intended for you. It amazed me so many different times when Jesus healed. Do you remember he says, your what? Your sins are forgiven. Remember that? Remember when he healed the blind man? And the blind man's like, I don't know, he healed me. But then Jesus found him later, and he says, you know what? He says, leave your life of sin, or something else is going to come in. Remember the adulterous woman who got caught in adultery? You remember that? And everyone's going to throw stones at her. Remember this? This is a wonderful story. And Jesus stood in front and said, he who has without sin casts the first stone. They're all standing there getting ready to stone the woman. Slowly, one by one, they drop their stone and no one throws it. And Jesus goes up to the adulterous woman who was caught in adultery and says, where are your accusers? She says, they're gone. He says, neither do I accuse you. But then he says, leave your life of sin. I'm not setting you free to go back and jump into it again. I'm setting you free from that. From the consequences of that sin, which is death. Church, wake up. I want to wake up. I've had an awakening in my life. I really have in the last 2 weeks, and I thank God for it because I would never examine it unless the world had painted it so brightly up on a wall. They painted it in such a way that it says, this is what we're doing, and if you're not careful, this is what we're going to do with everything. Pretty soon, it's going to be no holds bar. We're going to legalize every sin in the world. It's not only, I'm not picking on that. Listen to me, I'm not picking on that. I am grateful for it because it opened my eyes to what is going on and what we're going to fall into if we're not careful. If God's people don't wake up and recognize that we're standing there going over and over and over in the face of God. His power is available to you today to overcome and to live a life that will glorify Him. If you haven't got enough, if you don't think I know what I'm talking about, come see me and we will look at passage after passage. I won't say a word of my own. I will go through the list of passages that I have written right here and I won't say a word. I will just show you in God's Word over and over again where He's saying, don't do this any longer. This is not why I set you free. Yes, I know you're going to stumble. Yes, I know you're going to fall. Amazing grace. Amazing grace. My love abounds for you. Amazing grace. But don't turn away so far that I am no longer the Lord of your life. I'm done. Pray for me. The battle's coming. And know that I'm praying for you. Because I love you. And I want so much more than what we've got right now. So much more. I speak the truth to you in love and in grace and in mercy. Please accept it how I preach it. In Christ's name, let's pray. Precious Heavenly Father, Lord God, you are an incredible and mighty and awesome God. I love you.
I really do, Lord. I don't want anything in the world, nothing in this world, because there's nothing worthwhile to come in between my relationship with you, Lord. Lord, I know that we are being tempted on every side, Lord. I know that we've been blinded in so many different ways in this world to succumb to that pressure, to succumb to that sin, to see what everyone else is doing and thinking, I'm not so bad, but Lord, you know that we need you. I know that we're slipping. And I don't want to slip any longer. I want us to open our eyes, please, God, open our eyes to what we need to do. Not that our works, not that anything that we do is going to make you love us more or any less, Lord. But, Lord, we want to be a witness for you. This world needs to know that you are real, God, and that can happen as you reveal yourself through your people, through your power, through the Spirit that you have given us to dwell within us, Lord. Lord, we need that. But I know, Lord, it's not going to happen unless we recognize it. That we wake up from our slumber. That we open our eyes to see you fully and understand you more completely. Lord, help us not to use this amazing, incredible gift of grace as a license to keep sinning and to say it's okay. Lord, give us the strength to repent and turn to you, to look full in your wonderful face. We need you. So, Lord, I cry out on behalf of this congregation to start a revival in our hearts. Lord, help us to examine our lives truthfully and honestly in comparison to your word. Help us to seek you out and give us the strength to turn, to desire you more than anything else, to set an example for our kids, to set an example for our world in love and grace. We need you. Oh, how we need you. In Jesus' name, amen.